Lord, as we come today to celebrate the solemnity of Pentecost, we thank you and praise you for your faithfulness in fulfilling your promise. And each generation you offer us always exactly what we need to serve you well. So we just have to have that expectant faith and ask, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so we come today and ask for a fanning into flame of this gift to strengthen us in our inner selves, to face the challenges that lie before us, that lie inside of us, and to help us be bold disciples, and to experience that peace that does surpass all understanding, the peace that only you can give. We ask this with confidence through Christ our Lord. So I'm a firm believer that God is always wanting to break through and do something new in our lives. And sometimes we get caught in our routines and we just kind of go along and do things and we really don't expect a lot. And so we just kind of go along. And we see in the Bible many instances where the Lord breaks through and does something surprising. I'm thinking of Zechariah. You know, he had his duties as the high priest that year. And we read about this in the first chapter of Luke, to go in and offer prayers of atonement for the people. So he prepares himself, and there was a very lengthy process of preparation for that. And he goes in and he's doing his prayers, and all of a sudden an angel appears to him and scares the socks off of him because he wasn't expecting that. And his response was to have disbelief. Well, how is this going to happen? Like, you're praying for your rescue of your people and the salvation of your people, and then I'm announcing that this is going to happen and you don't believe it? And then we know he was silenced for several weeks or several months while Elizabeth was bearing John the Baptist. We see on the day of Pentecost that we just read in the second chapter of Acts today, that people responded differently. If you read that whole chapter, you'll see that how is it that we're able to understand them? These are just Galileans, and God is somehow breaking down the difficulty of language barriers, which we still have today. I remember being in Australia, and I was talking in English to somebody, and we couldn't communicate. It was weird because they had such a strong accent. I'm like, excuse me, come again? And it was just the most frustrating thing. Like, we're both speaking English and we can't understand each other. So we see today that through the power of the Holy Spirit, those barriers are broken down. What happened at the Tower of Babel, the Holy Spirit undoes, where people are able to understand the beautiful message of the gospel and its clarity. So some of them responded with awe and amazement and responded to the invitation to repent, believe, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit, while others said, oh, they're drunk, to which it's only 9 in the morning. Not yet, right? So people respond differently. And I know when people tell their testimonies too, and this actually happened to me with some family members, some things, miraculous things happened to me, and I just assumed everyone would be happy. And instead, I was ridiculed and made fun of, like, that didn't happen. You're just making that up. Like, huh? So, you know, just because God does something great, we still have this whole problem of the hardness of the human heart. And so we always have to be praying against that. And last night I was sharing a message that we have to be new wineskins. We can't just keep doing the same thing. We have to say, God, break through and do something new in my life. Show me your love and mercy and make me a better witness to you, to the people around me, or help me to forgive these people who are driving me crazy. You know, isn't that your prayer some days? It's mine. Not in our parish, of course. I'm joking. So supernatural breakthroughs can happen and people react differently. But the evidence is in the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the way we live our lives. When people see a change in our lives, that we're not just talking about some ideal, but they see it inside of our lives, it's incarnated in us, then it's a very different kind of a thing. And I witnessed that last night. We had our Pentecost celebration, and that got a very late start. So there were all these things that weren't kind of coming together, and people were concerned and worried, and it took a lot of my time. And I just, at some point, you just step back and say, Lord, it's going to be what it's going to be, and I'm not going to be stressed out. And it was a beautiful evening. And there were several people here last night who weren't Catholic. And it was very, very much focused on adoration. We started with Eucharistic adoration for the whole night until the very end, when I had a procession for like 40 minutes and just went around the church to hold Jesus to people and say, please wrap your arms around these people and heal them of all the things that are afflicting them and that are oppressing their lives right now and preventing them from experiencing the joy in the Holy Spirit that you want us to have. So I would just walk all over the church. And at the end of the evening, I found out that there were several people who weren't Catholic, including the praise and worship band. None of them were Catholic, but they all knelt down when I walked in front of them with the Blessed Sacrament. And at the end of the night, they said, oh, this was wonderful. We really enjoyed this evening with you guys. And we see you love Jesus. And, you know, and one lady said, we're Christians too. But they saw how people were attentive and worshiping from their heart. and joy in the Holy Spirit, and it was a convincing witness. And then I met two ladies from New Zealand. Now, they had strong accents, but we could understand each other. And they're not Catholic, but they belong to another organization, and they invited me to come up to Edmonds for coffee, you know, and just to talk about what happened and how we can heal all the sad divisions within Christianity. So when people see evidence that the Holy Spirit is actively working in a person's life and healing and bringing that joy, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. And so when they see that evidence in the life of a believer, then it becomes very convincing. And they're like, wow, you know, we have something in common. And maybe we need to pray that God will break down all the walls and barriers that have been erected over the centuries in Christianity, because it's really scandalous to people that we fight with each other and we can't come together and experience worship and so forth. So last night, it took me a long time to unwind and get to bed. It was like 2 a.m. almost before I finally fell asleep. But I was just so excited and like, wow, it's all true. What he promised really happens when we open our hearts to that grace. And that's for all of us. And there's clear evidence when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, they want to thank God and give thanks to God for all the blessings they have. And that's why it's a very sad and concerning thing that we have such a dip in our mass attendance, that people aren't coming to give thanks to God for redemption in Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign that the hearts are hardening and they're moving away from the gospel message and they don't understand the importance of worship. The first three commandments are all about worship. That's primary and first. When God called Moses into the desert, he didn't say, now go build some nice prosperous homes and have a better way of life. It was, you must go in the desert and worship the Lord. And he gave them very specific directions on how to do that. But that was primary to the identity as the people of God, that we know how to come into his presence with joy and thanksgiving and give thanks. And so when we see people not understanding that in the confusion, we realize that, wow, we need to get back to the basic message of the gospel and preach it in its integrity, and then look for the evidence of a changed life. There's no substitute that for whatsoever. There's no substitute for a changed life, and to see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in someone's life, freeing them from unforgiveness. The gospel reading today, not only did the church receive authority through confession to forgive sins, but we have authority through the Holy Spirit to let go of bitterness and resentment when people hurt us and to seek their reconciliation when we hurt them. We have authority in the name of Jesus and through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to live the way we used to. I have a song that says, I don't have to live the way I used to, because God is wanting to do something new. And then lastly, the second reading from 1 Corinthians tells us that each one of us has been given some kind of gift for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And I love to see people come to believe that and then to experience that. And last night was an example of how the Holy Spirit works in the body, bringing words of knowledge and healing and prophecy. And it's so different when people are opening and yielding themselves to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The worship is different. The care and concern for one another is different. You just don't go and do your duty. You're looking around to see if anyone needs prayer, if they need something. You know, you're just much more sensitive to the plight and problem of people when you're operating under that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I personally believe that God wants to offer us a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this our day and age, because we need it. And this was the prophecy in Acts 2, where Peter stands up and quotes Joel, in the last days I will lavish my spirit upon my children, upon my people, old men, maidens, everybody. I'm not stingy. I want to lavish this gift on my people. And last night, right before we started the Eucharistic procession and the healing part of the night, the Lord gave me a word to share Psalm 34. And this just stuck in my mind, because this is my prayer for me and for you. And it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. The spirit God has given us is a spirit of boldness and adoption and not fear and slavery. Look to him that you might be radiant with joy. And that's the part that just, I want to be radiant with joy. I want to reflect the goodness and love of God in my face, in my person, my words, my actions, that you may be radiant with joy and your face is not blushed with shame. And your face is not blushed with shame. How many people are shamed about things they've done in their past and are prisoners to that? And God is saying, come out of the tomb. I want you to experience life in abundance. And you just keep going back to, well, I did this and I did that, and there's no way I can get out of this. And the Lord's like, yes, there is. Don't you trust me? I set the captives free. I have good news for you if you believe in it. But so many people are operating under a spirit of shame. Even today in confession, lots of tears, and you could just see how ridden people were with guilt. It's like, okay, let's just cast that off and put on a new garment. right? A new garment, a glorious mantle for a listless spirit, Isaiah 61. So I would like to just offer a blessing for you in the form of a song. And when I was in college, and I told you this years ago, but maybe you forgot, we would always have a period of prayer, praise and worship, maybe 30, 40 minutes. It was wonderful. And then when we quiet down and we get ready for the teaching, we would always sing Spirit of the Living God to pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon us and open our hearts to whatever God wanted us to receive for the evening. So I want to just share that song with you and pray for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit for you. Certainly we all have challenges right now in our lives. And God is like, I'm a good God. I want to help you with those things. Believe in my goodness. Believe in my generosity. And open your heart to a new infusion, a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And watch me change you and bring you more happiness and joy. Who doesn't want more happiness in their life right now? I hope you don't raise your hand. So close your eyes and just pray for the Spirit of the Living God to fall afresh on you. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on them. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on them. Melt them, mold them, fill them, use them. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on them.